It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. It's Scottie Scheffler and another snoozer, and we're breaking some WNBA and Peacock news today. A happy Monday to everyone. This weekend's British Open, also known as the Open Championship, was another runaway victory for the hottest golfer on the planet, Scottie Scheffler. He took the lead on Friday afternoon at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland with a 7-under par 64, and Scottie Scheffler never relinquished the lead during Saturday and Sunday's final rounds. The Dallas, Texas native coasted to a four-shot victory Sunday in securing his fourth major championship. It was another of his patented sleepwalking final round performances. Scottie Scheffler was already 3-under par after just 7 holes on Sunday, and he led the field by a whopping 7 shots at the time. But then, a double bogey on the 8th hole briefly gave the other golfers a chance to capitalize after the lead had shrunk to 5 shots. But golf's most consistent ball striker in recent years bounced right back with another birdie on the 9th hole to quash the hopes of his closest playing competitors. Northern Ireland's own Rory McIlroy had tens of thousands of supporters pulling for him to lead that final round charge. But a double bogey on the par 4 10th hole ended Rory's thoughts of a miraculous comeback. He would finish with a 69 and tied for 7th place. But let's talk about Bryson DeChambeau's wild ride this past week. LIV Golf's Bryson DeChambeau will forever wonder what could have been after an opening round of 7 over par 68 at the British Open. This two-time U.S. Open champion found himself nearly in last place after the first round. He was widely expected to be heading home on Friday afternoon because the second round cut would reduce the field in half. But DeChambeau climbed more than 90 places on Friday after posting a gritty 6-under par 65 as he made the cut on the number at 1 over par. And then his 68 and 64 weekend scores moved him all the way up into a 10th place finish in this golf tournament. DeChambeau's final 54-hole scoring total at the Open Championship of 197 was the second lowest in the tournament's history. Just an even par round of 71 in Thursday's opening round by Bryson DeChambeau would have given Sunday's television viewers like me a whole lot more suspense and drama. But Scottie Scheffler is on the verge of becoming the next Grand Slam winner. The 29-year-old Scheffler's trademark fairways and greens skills provided a final round 68 as he captured the famed claret jug for his first Open Championship. Golf viewers on NBC were able to safely take their Sunday midday siesta. The final 18 holes were played in relatively benign weather conditions in Northern Ireland and featured almost zero drama. Scottie Scheffler's precision drives and iron shots, coupled with his ever-present on-course trance, made for, well, rather boring television viewing this weekend. Scheffler rarely smiles when he rolls in birdie putts, and he hardly ever acknowledges cheers from the crowd who really truly appreciate his golfing talent. Scottie Scheffler's precision golf game is more like watching Jack Nicklaus in his prime than Tiger Woods. Both of those golf legends, though, showed far more charisma on the golf course than the relatively wooden Scottie Scheffler has, at least through this point in his career. Scottie Scheffler approaches the golf course daily, much like a neurosurgeon preparing for brain surgery. He seems to be laser-focused on executing each and every shot. He appears on screen rather robotic at times and quite bland, but this definitely works for him. Scottie Scheffler has already captured 2 Masters Green jackets to go with this year's PGA Championship, and he'll have a chance to complete golf's career Grand Slam next June, as the U.S. Open will be played at Shinnecock Hills on Long Island, New York. And a win there would add Scottie Scheffler's name to golf greats like Gene Sarazen and Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Rory McIlroy in that very exclusive club. I don't think I'd bet against him. Now let's talk about the WNBA players versus the owners in Family Feud round number 1. This weekend's Women's All-Star Game festivities featured the top basketball players of the WNBA wearing solidarity t-shirts during warm-ups. They said, "Pay us what you owe us." The Women's Professional Basketball League held their All-Star game in Indianapolis as the league and the players' union inched closer to a labor impasse by season's end. The WNBA's collective bargaining agreement will end at the end of the season, and failure to reach a new agreement might put the entire 2026 basketball season in jeopardy. The players are seeking more money and a bigger piece of the action. And the owners point to the fact that the league has not turned a profit in decades, including an estimated $50 million loss last year in 2024, despite a surge in attendance and league interest on television. But you better be careful what you ask for. Check with Major League Baseball before you go out on strike. Well-known women basketball players like former LSU star Angel Reese are leading this charge for more money. Reese said last week on social media, "Let's be real. Women's hoops is booming because of players like me. This isn't a bluff. We'll sit out and the league will feel it." But the talented but brash Reese is correct, noting that attendance and television ratings for the Women's Pro Basketball League have been on the rise. But that doesn't mean that the league has become profitable just yet. That may take several more years to turn the books around. If you go to my website at SwampSwamiSports.com, I have a link on there for you for my recent post where we have the comparative stats for the NBA players and the WNBA. It's rather revealing. This disparity in media revenues and player pay between the two basketball leagues is rather shocking, but it's a function of the comparative revenues. The WNBA players are fired up about their cause, and many of the WNBA fans are right there supporting the players, but some don't. Will the average sports fan miss the WNBA next summer if the players decided to go out on strike? A valuable history lesson is in order. Major League Baseball experienced several brief player strikes and management lockouts during the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. Fans learned, though, that they could indeed survive rather well without the bickering baseball players and team owners. Those dust-ups ended rather quickly after both sides would see the waning support coming from the general public. The NFL's popularity rose at that time as sports fans tired of baseball's frequent player and management negotiations involving two parties who seemed to be doing quite well financially. WNBA players and the team owners would be wise to study the history of baseball's labor issues and the long-term impact of a waning public support. A new short-term, let's say 1 to 3 year labor agreement, seems to be in order for the WNBA players and the owners. That would allow the league a chance to confirm whether the recent positive short-term trends are sustainable over a longer period. And while we're speaking of basketball, TNT Sports lost its longtime NBA television package to NBC beginning this October. Basketball fans had needed cable television or a premium streaming service in order to watch the games on Turner Network Television for the past couple of decades. This spring's announcement that TNT failed to match NBC's significantly higher bid had many basketball fans wondering how the traditional over-the-air NBC network was going to afford it. Don't expect to see most of NBC's allotment of weeknight games on its free over-the-air network of local television stations beginning this October. NBC's owned and operated online streaming service called Peacock will handle a significant number of the network's weeknight NBA games. In fact, all Monday night NBA games will exclusively be on Peacock starting this fall. And did you know that Peacock has just raised its prices by $3 per month this week? That's right. Peacock's minimum price is going up this Wednesday on July 23rd from $7.99 per month to $10.99 per month. Now, that price includes all of the ads being sold by NBC. You won't miss any of the ads either. Peacock's Premium Plus service with fewer ads will rise by $3 as well, from $13.99 per month to $16.99 this week. Did you know that Peacock already had about 40 million paying subscribers as of early 2025? The online network had just 1/10 of that number 4 years ago, back in 2021. Peacock, though, cut a deal to televise WWE wrestling events, including their pay-per-view monthly shows, a couple of years ago. That appears to have turned out to be a great move for them. Then the NFL allowed NBC to move a few regular season games and one playoff game this last season to Peacock. Diehard sports fans might complain about paying Peacock's monthly fee to see just one ball game. And apparently, legions of football fans went ahead and paid that price. The online streaming network cleverly knows that many sports fans, most of us men, simply don't remember to cancel Peacock's online service after just 1 month. So kudos to NBC and Peacock for having an exceptional grasp on its primary target market. They deserve a Classroom A for understanding the economic concept of the elasticity of demand.
Ooh, yeah!
The majority of Peacock subscribers might not even notice this rather substantial 37.5% price increase over the next month. But they still won't be getting any of my money. Mwahaha! I'm Swamp Swami.